Welcome back to TRP.
Ludmilla, Kerry, 2002. Ludmilla wiped a tear and gazed out across the glistening waters to Skellig Michael, rising cathedral-like from the grey-green sea. Filling her lungs, she savoured the ageless aromas of the Atlantic Ocean and listened to the breakers pound against the cliff face below her, muting the shrill cries of the grey-backed gulls rising and dipping on the thermals in the lee of Tucker Head. A trawler rounded Dersey Island, miniaturised by the headlands, bobbing cork-like as it made its way towards the Cow's Rock and the blue infinity of the fishing grounds further south. Sweeping the long dark hair from her pale face, she looked drawn and weary. Kneeling, she placed a bunch of flowers upon the upturned soil, which was her husband's grave. A month had passed since Lucian's interment in Rathmore, a peaceful scenic graveyard on the jagged coastal edge of Europe, where the mighty Celtic crosses seemed to buckle to the Atlantic gales and the fathomless weight of antiquity. Blessing herself, she glanced at the simple timber cross with its brass-plated inscription and read his name over and over, as if trying to come to terms with her loss. "Why, Lucian?" she asked. "Why did she do it?" He was smiling that fateful Monday morning when he kissed her goodbye, like he had done on countless occasions before. Had he planned it, she wondered. Had he known that this was to be their final kiss? She tried to recall that fleeting moment, often in the past few weeks. Biting her lip in anguish, she pondered on the oddity of it all. She could recall the first time they kissed like it was yesterday. Sadly, their last was a hurried blur. Did he realize when, departing that morning, he would never lay eyes on her again? Nor would she lie in his strong arms and wake up to his smile. If he had, she wondered, how could he have remained so calm? If he knew, why didn't he confront her or say something? Why had she not sensed desperation in his parting kiss or seen the dark foreboding clouds in his pale blue eyes? It was she who had encouraged him to leave the accountancy firm in Warsaw to seek a better life. It had been her idea to come to Ireland. Despite his reservations, he, as always, placated her. Having agonized over leaving their family and loved ones in Warsaw, they set out together on a new adventure. It quickly became clear to them they could not afford the exorbitant rents being asked in Dublin. Opting to avoid the hectic of the city, they chose to live by the sea. Long-term rents were relatively cheap, and soon they found an idyllic cottage in the outskirts of Dingle, overlooking Scariff Island. Lucian fell in love with the town and the people, the solitude and the nature of the place. But as their cash flow dwindled and reality sank in, so too did his desire to stay. Ludmilla, who spoke perfect English, had a science degree and quickly found work as a dental assistant. Lucian, who had little English, had less options open to him. But he eventually managed to get a job as a deckhand on a local fishing boat. The increasing cost of diesel meant the trawler would stay out for days at a time, packing the catch in ice before returning on Thursday afternoons. Lucian hated the work and the ungodly hours. Left with little option, he persevered, knowing they could not financially survive if he were to leave. Nor did the arrangement suit Ludmilla. It meant her having to spend nights alone, scared and vulnerable, locked in their small isolated cottage, desperately missing him. They consoled each other by agreeing it would only be for a short time. When they had saved enough money, they would put a deposit on a house of their own. Though Ludmilla initially declined offers of a drink after work, Mark, her boss, was insistent, and finally, she relented on the occasion of his 35th birthday. It seemed like a nice idea at the time. She had never been to a pub or a restaurant without Lucian, nor had she ever had the inclination to be. This afforded her an opportunity to break the monotony of sitting home alone. She knew Mark's wife Maureen would be there, and felt no impropriety at accepting the invitation. Mark and Maureen were 8 years married. They appeared to be the perfect couple with two small children, Grace, their 4-year-old daughter, and Daniel, a 6-year-old son. Ludmilla was familiar with Maureen and her kids. They often called into the dental practice on their way home from school. Though Ludmilla found Maureen pretty and pleasant, she deemed her dull, especially when it came to a meaningful conversation. Her favourite topic, as like so many Irish mothers, seemed invariably to centre around her children. O'Grady's seafood bar was busy that Wednesday evening. A mouth-watering smell of grilled prawns and garlic potatoes emanated from the kitchens as Ludmilla entered, wearing a dark tweed coat, a tight red skirt and white blouse. "Over here!" Mark called out as he raised his hand. Ludmilla was surprised to see just 3 people sitting at the table: Maureen, Mark, and their friend Ronan. "We thought you had forgotten us," said Maureen with a warm, welcoming smile. Mark stood up to greet her. "Apologies for being a little late. I couldn't decide what to wear. I'm a disaster." "Nonsense. You look dazzling," said Mark, taking her coat. "Don't you agree, Maureen?" "You look beautiful. It's not difficult to see. There are no children dragging out of you." "Not yet," said Ludmilla with a smile as she sat down in the vacant seat opposite Maureen. "You know Ronan." "Yes, indeed," said Ludmilla, shaking his hand. "We've met fleetingly on several occasions when they both are running out the door to play a round of golf."
"Why we're in such a hurry to get there is beyond me," said Ronan. "You should see how badly we both play."
"Hey, speak for yourself," said Mark, with a disapproving glance.
"A good walk ruined," laughed Maureen.
Ronan and Mark were roughly 10 years older than Ludmilla. Though Ronan was neat and pleasant, he was a little too dull for Ludmilla's tastes, and never in a million years would she have described him as being handsome. Mark, on the other hand, was tall and athletic, a good-looking man with a head of neat black curls. If she didn't know, she would have guessed his nationality to be French or Italian. Mark uncorked a bottle of champagne with a controlled pop and poured. They clinked glasses. "Happy birthday, Mark," they echoed as they toasted him. "For he's a jolly good fellow," sang Ronan dreadfully off key.
"Oh, shut it," pleaded Mark, looking a little embarrassed.
"The pair of them are worse than children," said Maureen, unfolding her napkin. "Do you like fish?" she asked, handing the menu to Ludmilla.
"Yes, I adore shellfish. Prawns are my favourite."
"Surely your husband keeps you well supplied," said Ronan.
"No, actually, lately they have been deep sea fishing, so no prawns, I'm afraid."
Later, having finished the main course, they were handed a dessert menu.
"Does your husband like fishing?" asked Maureen.
Ludmilla beamed. She looked ever so attractive when she smiled, young, vibrant, alive.
"Oh, Lucian loves the sea," she laughed, "but only to gaze at it from the safety of the shore."
"Then he's a bit like me," said Mark. "Anything choppier than the bath, and I tend to end up with my head over the gunwales, paying homage to the ocean."
"Daniel takes after his father's side.
He sometimes gets motion sickness in the car."
"Sadly, that's true," said Mark. Ronan began to poke fun. "I've seen Mark turn greener than the sea on some of our fishing trips."
Ludmilla smiled in amusement. Maureen's mobile rang and she lifted it to her ear.
"When?"
"Is he okay?"
"Who?" asked Mark.
"Daniel," Maureen mouthed as she struggled to hear her phone.
"Speak of the devil," said Mark, as he watched the concerned expression grow on Maureen's face.
"Okay then, I'll be right home," she said, closing her phone.
"What's the matter?" asked Mark.
"It's Daniel, he's been sick."
"It's probably a tummy bug," Mark assured her. "He'll be fine in the morning."
"I better go just to be on the safe side," blurted Maureen.
"But that's why we have a babysitter, for God's sake," protested Mark.
"It could be serious, he might need a doctor. I'm not prepared to take a chance," she snapped.
"Okay, I'm sorry, I'll drop you home."
"That won't be necessary," interjected Ronan. "I've got to be up early in the morning and I'm passing by your place. I can drop Maureen home."
"Perhaps we should all go," said Ludmilla, suddenly feeling a little awkward.
"Nonsense," snapped Maureen. "Mark hasn't had his birthday cake. If we were to go home now, he'd sulk for a complete week."
"A day at most," scoffed Mark. I'm sure Daniel is perfectly fine. Hold the cake till I get back, she smiled. Ronan stood up, donned his jacket and shook Ludmilla's hand. It was lovely to meet you again. Hopefully next time things will be a little less chaotic. Ludmilla glanced to Mark. Are you sure you want to stay? I'm quite happy to go now. Nonsense, said Maureen. I won't be long. Mark glanced at his watch. It had been 40 minutes since Ronan and Maureen had left. Ludmilla felt uneasy, a little out of her comfort zone. She had never sat with Mark before. For the first time since her university days in Warsaw, she found herself sitting in a restaurant in another man's company. I hope little Daniel is going to be okay. Oh, he'll be fine, Mark assured her. Children are resilient. They're sick one moment and running around the next. It's all ahead of you, he assured her with a beaming smile. Touch wood, she said, reaching for the leg of the table. I'm sure you'll make a wonderful mother. I hope so. If I don't, there's not much I can do about it. I can't send the baby back saying, I've changed my mind. Mark's mobile rang. Ludmilla felt a sense of relief when she heard him answer, Hi, darling. She watched his expression change. Are you sure? Not even a temperature. But Maureen, don't be silly. He's playing up. Fine then. I'll see you later. Is everything okay? Ludmilla inquired. Placing his phone on the table, Mark concurred. Yeah, I was right. It's just a tummy bug. Oh, great. Is Maureen on her way? No, said Mark. Danya won't let her out of his sight and kicks up a fuss if she tries to leave. You better get home then. Hey, hang on a moment, said Mark. It's my birthday and I'm going to celebrate. Don't tell me you're going to desert me too. Ludmilla felt trapped. I just don't want to cause problems. What are you talking about? He said, pouring from a new, barely touched bottle of champagne. We can't let this go to waste. It started that night. Mark insisted he'd drive Ludmilla home. On reaching the cottage, she suggested he sober up with a black coffee before leaving. She was standing in the kitchen by the counter when he walked up behind her and placed his arms around her waist. She could feel goose pimples creep across her skin. You know, from the first moment I laid eyes on you, I was captivated, he whispered. Please, Mark, don't. It's the truth. Is that why you hired me? She asked, leaning her head back against his cheek. She turned to face him. He held her close. She tried to resist. Please tell me that's not true, he smiled impishly. No, but I have to admit, it was a consideration. She could smell the familiar scent of his aftershave, much more sophisticated and subtle than the old spice Lucian tended to wear. I want you, Ludmilla, he said, kissing her on the lips. Oh God, this is crazy. You know, I want you too, but we can't. He stopped her protestations with another kiss. This time, she reciprocated with hot kisses of her own. Her heart pounded in her chest. Have you any idea how much I've idolized you, Ludmilla? Oh, Mark, she sighed as she reached up to stroke his soft, wide lips with her finger. We can't. We mustn't. I'm a married woman. And I'm a married man, but that doesn't stop me feeling the way I do. That night, they made love on the carpet by a roaring fire. Their passion was desperate, frenzied, almost animalistic, and much to Ludmilla's surprise and shame, she adored it. Soon they were making love at every possible opportunity, in the office, in his car, in the cottage, on the cliff face. Nothing could quell their wild desires. Though Ludmilla loved Lucian, she secretly looked forward to her nights with Mark. She became a different woman in his company, young, free-spirited, gregarious, confident. Their conversations were upbeat, their meetings fun, their passion insatiable. When Lucian returned on the weekends, invariably he was tired and irritable. He didn't want to socialize. He would sit at the kitchen table and count the money he had earned before handing it to Ludmilla. Sometimes, when the fishing was good, he earned extra and would allow himself some beers and a couple of bottles of wine. To celebrate, he would cook a lovely meal for her. They would sit at the table, drinking and discussing the events of the week. She had never found it difficult to converse with Lucian, but now it felt strained. Life on a trawler was pretty boring, so invariably it was Ludmilla who was left to relate the local gossip. She began to dread having these casual conversations, fearing she might let something slip, a place or a name, some little thing that Lucian could latch onto. Amused, he would listen to the gossip from the village and the dental surgery. Silly stories like who needed a new crown or a root canal and the horror on their faces when they discovered how much it would cost. Later, they would reminisce about friends and family back in Warsaw. She could see the longing in his eyes and that scared her. She was having the best time of her life and didn't want it to end. Much as she loved Lucian, everything about him was becoming predictable, depressing and boring. It started to annoy her, partly because of the tremendous guilt she felt knowing that he had given up his dreams for her. Only when they were alone out walking the cliffs with the wind in their hair and the sun on their backs did he smile that gorgeous, irresistible smile of his that so enchanted her when they first met at the university in Warsaw. It was on one of those walks she discovered the beautiful graveyard in which she now stood. The sound of a jet could be heard above the crashing waves. She gazed into the blue heavens, searching for the glistening silver fuselage and the telltale vapor trail. She spotted it, almost on the edge of space, darting westward like a tiny silver arrowhead, speeding towards the Americas. How she longed to be on that plane, fleeing from the village and the island that had caused her so much pain. How she wished she could fly far away, far from those who judged her, escape their snide comments, their hurried whispers and disdaining looks. Locals say it was a crime of passion, fueled by the hurt she had caused. How could she have foreseen such a tragedy? How was she to know her actions would cause so much pain, or that the two men she loved most in this world would lose their lives? Two innocent children would now grow up without a father because of her. Wiping a tear, she glanced at the simple wooden cross before her. "I'm sorry, Lucian, for all the pain and hurt I've caused you. What shall I do now? I can't stay here without a job, nor can I face your friends and family back home. I'm scared." Raising her eyes, she glanced out to the sea. She heard it said they found the murder weapon, a gutting knife, the type used by fishermen, lying in the pools of blood gushing from the bodies. Mark's throat had been slit from ear to ear. Lucian, they say, had cut his wrists. The squeak of the graveyard gate distracted Ludmilla. She quickly wiped her eyes and composed herself. Turning, she could see Daniel and Grace running between the flagging headstones towards their father's grave. Hyperventilating, she could feel her heart pound in her chest. Once more, the gate squeaked as Maureen, dressed in a black coat and black felt-rimmed hat, entered the graveyard. She looked pale and broken. In her hand, she carried a bunch of red roses. Touching the brass plate bearing Lucian's name, Ludmilla summoned all her strength and headed towards the gate. On seeing her, Maureen momentarily froze. As they passed each other on the narrow gravel path, Ludmilla noticed there was no more hatred in Maureen's eyes. Just a chasm left by a broken heart. Choking back her tears, Ludmilla watched as Maureen turned and followed the children to their daddy's grave. In Ludmilla's head, one burning question still remained. Who was the father of the baby she carried in her womb?
Keep listening to TRP.